Today is Thursday, November 7th, 2019. We're going to hear Rav Moshe Soloveitchik Shir on Parshas Lech Lecha.
Okay. So, first of all, I'd like to there are people who have brought items recently, and there are some that have brought items today. Just want to thank you very much. Appreciate the generosity, whoever you may be. I want to thank certain people for setting up the tables, having the room ready for us. Very, very much appreciated. And I also want to thank those that came early and helped me schlep the food in. And set up the room for the class. It takes a little effort, but we get it done every week. And sure. Without that help, I'd be very, very tired. So I want to thank the people who come and help. I'd like to thank Young Israel once again for the generosity, allowing us to have this beautiful class I'd like to take the time to wish everybody a good Erev Shabbos. Good Shabbos. Pinchas, would you mind taking your phone and shutting it off? Thanks, Pinchas. Everybody else, the
question
is,
does he mean I mind? Does he mean I'll do it?
It's both.
Hey, yeah, I don't mind.
I'm
not going to.
We're going to do it anyway.
Hey, Jerry.
There's a machok, yes, between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel.
Jerry.
The Matan Torah by Losasa. They said yes. In other words, but there it means I accept the Losasa, not that I'll do it. All right.
So, I want to have everybody please silence their phones, including Mr. Cherney. I need to put on vibrate. Is there anything else that I need to say?
Next week.
Oh, by the way, we're Fleischer tonight.
Next week.
Daniel, in case you don't know.
No, sir.
Mark.
Yeah. We're going to dive in 2 or 3 minutes after class today. And
Rob said no class.
And we're not going to have any class next week.
Well, we will have class, but there won't be as fewer.
Some of us don't have any class today. But anyway, it was just a joke.
Okay.
I didn't mean that.
Obviously, he said us.
All right.
Yeah. Okay. All right. This week is Parshas Lech Lecha. Now, one of the big dilemmas in Parshas Lech Lecha, there seems to be some kind of contradiction, or seeming contradiction, I should say, between the end of Parshas Noach and Parshas Lech Lecha. Now, in other words, in the end of Parshas Noach, it says, "Vatihi vayikach Terech es Avram beno veslot ben Haran beno vesarei chalasu eishes Avraham beno vayetsu itam meyur kazdin lo leches artza Canaan." So at the end of Parshas Noach, it appears that Terach decides, hey, we're going to take a family trip, we're going to leave. You could attribute it to many factors. Some attribute it to the conditions in Ur Kasdim, and we're going to leave, and we're going to go to the land of Canaan. I'm just explaining the pasuk literally. We're going to land the Canaan, and they get as far as Haran, Vayeshu Sham, they stay there. Then, it says, Vayomer Hashem Ol Avraham, in Parshas Lech Lecha, Lech Lecha Meyatzecha Mimoladcha Beis Avicha L'Aretz Asher Areka. Go to the land that I'll show you. leave your land, your... Now, so the question is, this command, when was this command given of Lech Lecha? Was this given in Ur Chasdim, or was this given in Haran? So the Ibn Ezra says, and that's the Ibn Ezra's opinion in general, the Ibn Ezra's opinion is that things in the Torah, as a general rule, are not necessarily in chronological order. So he says it's going back when they were in Ur Chasdim. God commanded Avram to leave. So then Terach, someone who attributed to Terach becoming more positive religiously, whatever you want to call, rejecting Avodah Zarah, rejecting idolatry, whatever it is, he decides, you know, I'm also going, and not only I'm going, I'm going to take charge of everybody, and we're all going to leave. Not just Avram. No, it was a response. The way the Ibn Ezra seems to say, it was a response to Avram's leaving Ur Chasdim. So Terach said, I'm also leaving, and I'm taking the whole family with me.
With Avram.
And you see, he takes charge. But he takes charge because it says, Vayikach Terach es Avram beno veslot ben Haran ben beno vesare kalosa eshes Avram beno vayetzu itom Ur Chasdim. He takes them. It doesn't say Avram took Terach. Once he got involved, he took over. Well, that's to be expected. He's the father. He's the patriarch of the family. So you expect that to be. But the original destination, planned destination, the original planned destination was Canaan. But along the way, they stopped.
That's where they stayed.
And they stayed there. What their intentions were, how long they're going to stay, you know. He was there. They were there quite some time, you know. So did they give up on their plans of going to Canaan or not? That's a question. Okay. This is the Ibn Ezra. However, Rashi seems to think that it's in chronological order here. In other words, Terach decides he's leaving. Rashi doesn't have such a positive attitude at this point regarding Terach anyway. But Terach is leaving. He takes Avram with him and all that. And then he gets the command, Vayomer Hashem al Avram, lech lecha me'artzecha, leave your land. Leave your land, that could mean Haran, because they had settled in Haran, even though the original plan was to go to Canaan, but they settled in Haran. Mimoladetcha, your birthplace. So Rashi's troubled, because Rashi assumes that Abraham was born in Ur Chasdim. So Rashi says, go further away from your birthplace. In other words, go further away. And then, umibes avicha, well, that makes sense, because Haran was now the house of Terach, so leave your father's house. That's how Rashi explains it. Now, but we have a certain problem, and the problem is, Rashi says, Moladetcha, Lech lecha, me'artzecha, u'me'moladetcha, and from your birthplace. The simple reading of the pasuk does not seem to imply that he is telling him to leave he's telling him move further away. The simple reading of it is leave your father's leave your birthplace. Leave your birthplace. Doesn't seem the simple reading of the Polasik does. He doesn't say baharchek mimoladcha. Go further away from your from your birthplace. The simple reading is leave your birthplace. So we have to understand why, if it's as Rashi says, why wasn't the Torah more explicit and tell us go further away from your birthplace? Why did the Torah phrase it in such a way that not only we can interpret, but we're most likely to interpret, you should leave your birthplace? If it's as Rashi says, he should say, Lech lecha, leave, me'artzecha, lech lecha, me'artzecha, umibeis avicha, v'harchek mimoladcha, and leave further away from your birthplace. That's the question that we have to understand. Okay, now. And in any case, so I've mentioned in the past that my father would say, it seems that the words of the pasuk are out of order. Now, if we take it literally, moladcha means Artsakha is your country. Moladcha would be the city of your birth. Umibeis avicha, the house of your father. Now, people usually first leave their house, then they leave their city, and then they leave their country. It's in the opposite order. It's in the opposite order. So the question is, how are we to understand it? It should have been. So my father said, he spoke, my father, as a boy, lived in Warsaw, Poland. So he said that in terms of the impact, he wasn't necessarily talking about the religious impact, but the impact of the, first the Polish impact on him, probably the day he stepped over the border, that was gone. The impact. He said about the memories and the impact of the city of Warsaw, you got to remember, especially in those days, that lasted with him much longer and to a certain degree. Now, when I knew my father, I would say, Warsaw, Poland, it was the, if I didn't know that he lived in Warsaw, Poland, I wouldn't have known it. It was just biographical information. It wasn't part of his personality the way I saw it, you know. And then he says, the last thing is, let's say, the building, the neighbors, the whatever it is, That has the most lasting impact, the people that you were especially close to. So the command to Avram was not just a command. The command to Avram was not just the command to physically leave these places. Even more than physically, it was to psychologically leave these places. To psychologically leave these places. So in other words, Avram, you know, we find the Irish on St. Patrick's Day. So they and their children and their grandchildren have been in America since the time of the 1800s. But come St. Patrick's Day, and they're all Irish, you know? They consider themselves Irish. You know, so in a sense, there was given over this impact of being Irish remained with them, and even though America is the great melting pot, but to a certain degree, the culture. I agree that to a certain degree the influence of the culture is getting less, but the The culture, to a certain degree, remains with the Irish, with the Polish. I remember when the yeshiva, when Brisk was getting the accreditation for the high school, so the government sent some inspectors to what needs correction. And the big thing was, what's the name of the general, the Polish general that in Chicago?
Pulaski.
The big problem was that in our calendar, we didn't put down Pulaski Day. You understand? It was easy to manipulate. Well, yeah, Brisk was part of Poland at one time. Anyway, we should have told him that. Anyway, so Brisk Litovsky. Yeah.
Tell me it down as Crawford instead of Pulaski.
Anyway, so you see, I don't know, this guy, believe me, this guy was never in Poland. I was in Poland more than he was. So but culturally, Poland has no impact on me. You understand? But culturally, Poland had an impact on him. You understand? So this is the idea. So lechucha me'artzucha me'latch. It's in the opposite order, in order to emphasize. It's not just that you have to leave physically, but you have to leave culturally also. You have to leave culturally also. Now, it's very interesting. You have to leave culture. And I think, so this is how we could understand Rashi. In other words, you know, when people change, go through changes in their lives, the Rambam says, if somebody is a gambler, I'm not going to define a gambler, but let's say if somebody is an addicted gambler. So the law is that an addicted gambler is posseledus. He's not acceptable as a witness. He's not acceptable as a witness.
A witness
in Jewish court.
Yeah.
I mean, Jewish. Okay. Now.
Is there any other case?
Yes, there are.
Okay. Anyway. So it's not accepted as a witness in order to be kosher for to this. So a person says, "I stopped gambling. I did shiva. I'm not going to be a gambler anymore." Ram says, that's not good enough. You're an addicted gambler. You got to tear up your cards, the instruments of gambling and all that.
Throw your dice away.
Throw your dice away, yeah. All right, so you have to throw your dice away. You have to, in other words, so long as you leave the situation that allows you to remain a gambler, and you were a gambler, I'm not talking somebody just happens to have dice in his house. But if somebody was an addicted gambler, the only way to lose that status as a gambler is to get rid of all that stuff. Now, the same thing is true. The same thing is true here. And in a sense, if a person wants to keep his dice, why? Because if a person wants to keep his dice, he is not really committed to never gamble again. He wants to keep the opportunity open. He wants to keep the opportunity open. That's what Rashi's telling us. Rashi's telling us that a person that Avram was told, it's not enough to leave Ur Kasdim. Ur Kasdim is a terrible place. Haran is somewhat better. I don't know how much, but somewhat better. But in Ur Kasdim, but if you're if you don't move completely away, keeping the opportunity open to return there means that you're not completely pushing aside the culture. The culture is still there, or the possibility of the culture is still there. And more than that, we could say, you know, culture, if you go to Texas, there'll be a stronger influence of the culture of Mexico than if you go to Quebec, Canada. You know, I have to say that with the open borders. But the... you know, in the old days I would have said Chicago, but today I can't say that anymore. But with the open borders today, so no borders I should say, so everything is like the border is like the border, but even moving away, the closer you are to the culture. So, and it wasn't just a question of Avram, it was a question of Avram and his family and the people associated with Avram. So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avram, Lech lecha mi'atzecha mi'molatcha m'beis avicha l'artz asher areka. So, according to Rashi, so in other words, Mimolaretcha, your birthplace, the way my father explained it, doesn't just mean physically leaving your birthplace, but leaving the culture of your birthplace. The culture of your birthplace, that is still in Haran. You have to leave that culture completely. But the question I have is, why does they refer to it as Mimolaretcha, your birthplace? Just say from the places that have the impact of your birthplace, that has the same culture. Why emphasize Mimolaretcha, your birthplace? Emphasizing that you were born there. Why the emphasis that you were born there? And I think the reason is now, and I want to suggest the pshat perhaps a little different than Rashi, but perhaps it works together with Rashi. Originally, Abraham, Terach, takes everybody away. And to a certain degree, they want to get away from Ur Kasdim. They want to get away from Ur Kasdim. For whatever reason, Rashi doesn't seem to attribute it to Terach's change in character at that point. But whatever. But maybe it is because of that. They want to get away. But, you know, there's a Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchos Deos, the Rambam in Hilchos Deos says, a person is influenced by his surroundings, by the area where he is. And he says, if you live in an area where the people do not act properly, have bad attitudes, so he says, you have to move to another place. Then the Rambam says, and what happens if every place has bad attitudes? Does not have proper standards? And then he adds the words, kizmanenu, like our times. If the Rambam said that about his times. Yeah. So the Rambam says, and you go to the desert, that wouldn't help today. You go to the desert and you live in caves. That's what the Rambam says. My great-grandfather, Reb Chaim, during World War I, that's when the attitudes really started taking a big change, certainly from a religious and moral perspective. So I think, they were running from city to city. Brisk was the site of the big battles. And that's actually where Russia, that's World War II. But it was site of a lot of battles, and that people had to leave. And so Reb Chaim, I think, was in Pinsk. He was in Pinsk. So he left. He locked the door of his apartment. Reb Chaim was known to have an open door policy. He locked the door of his apartment, and he would never go out into the, almost never go out into the streets. Reb Chaim was a person who really mixed with people. He was known as somebody who mixed with people. And someone asked him why. So he said, he mentioned the Rambam. He says, the Rambam says, if you're in an area where this, so he says you have to, and it's impossible to go to a place where it's different, you have to go into a cave. He says, there are no caves here, so I have to make my own cave. So he said, my house became my cave. That's what Reb Chaim said. So it's very possible, we could suggest that with and also the Avram, there was fear for Avram's life and everything. So Avram had to leave Ur Kasdim. He had to leave Ur Kasdim because of his preaching, because he became the leader that advocated on behalf of God against idolatry. There was a death sentence against him. And he couldn't function there in the proper manner. You know, if Chas V'Shalom, he would adopt the culture of Ur Kasdim, he would have been accepted. But Avram Chas V'Shalom wouldn't do it. So he was forced to leave. But, you know, there are two separate issues. One issue is getting rid of the negative influences. Ridding oneself of the bad influence. Separating oneself from those who lead him astray. That's one thing. But that's not creating a new identity for oneself. There's a difference. This was the dilemma. Abraham initially wanted to leave, and he wanted to leave to Canaan, and he went with Terach originally to Canaan. Why? They weren't interested in a new identity. And in a certain sense, this was the difference between Terach and Avram. Terach was, even if we say that Terach wanted to do tshuva, Terach was interested in getting away from it, but he wasn't interested in remaking himself, in making himself a new person. Now, we find, I've mentioned in the past, that Avraham's name is changed from Avram to Avraham. And one is not supposed to call Avram by the name Avram. I had a classmate who's in those days we used to have English names or secular names and Hebrew names. I was the only one that had only a Hebrew name, Moshe. They didn't call me Moses. And they didn't call me Martin or anything of that sort, a Mark or whatever. But that was Moshe in Hebrew, I was Moshe in English. In the morning we had religious classes, I was Moshe. Today, and most kids in the Orthodox day schools have only Hebrew names. But in those days it was different. Even from the most religious kids, it was...
Martin doesn't fit,
yes. Okay, what can I do? Okay. Max. Okay, so the
Egyptian name.
Okay, all right. So if it'd be a problem if I lived in Egypt. Anyway, so the the one boy in my class, I don't know where his parents got this idea, but in the his Hebrew name was Avram, and his secular name was Avram. All right, but anyway, so it sounds strange. Anyway, so technically, you're not supposed to. You cannot refer to Avraham by the name Avram. Yaakov has a name changed also, and his name is changed to Yisrael. But he retains the name Yaakov. And the Gemara asks the question: what's the difference? And Mary said, because God called him Yaakov afterwards. Okay, but there must be a reason for it. There's a lesson to be learned from it. What is the lesson to be learned from it? The answer is, Avram was the first Jew. He was the first one. Avram had, to a certain degree, reject his past. But Yaakov was a Jew. From the very beginning, the name Yisrael represented a promotion. As a matter of fact, Targum Unkelis says the word Yisrael comes from the word sar. Sar. Yisrael. You became an officer. It represents a promotion. In ancient times, when somebody got a position of honor, his name was changed. Yosef. He gets a name when he comes assistant to the king, Safnas Paner, but he retains the name Yosef. The emperors, whenever they were appointed, they would take a new name for themselves. Name represented a promotion. For Avram, it was not just a promotion, the name. It was a new identity. For Avram, it was a new identity. I know of a certain lady she maximized on her credit cards. And then she went to Europe, and she came back with a new name. A new identity. You know, she was a different person. Unfortunately, she probably was not a new person. Anyway, so the name Avram is a rejection of the past. It represents the person becomes a new person. Terach could be wanted to get away from the negative influences. But he didn't want to be a new person, a different person. He wanted to make certain changes, but he didn't see himself as a different person. The Rambam says when it comes to a Baal Tshuva, he says he has to say, Ani Eini Yosa Ish. I'm not that same person. Because so long as you're that same person, there is that possibility you're going to return. So long as you're the same person, it doesn't mean you necessarily will return, but it's not a complete change. The only way someone makes a complete change is he sees himself as another person. That's why the Torah implies, Mimoladcha, get further away from your birthplace. You have to reject all those previous years. Doesn't mean you can't act nice. You have to act nice. There is no person that acts nicer than Avram. Avram, even after he separates from Lot, he hears that Lot's in trouble. He runs to help him. What's the difference? What is the difference between Avram leaving? Ur Kasdim and Avram in Parshas Lech Lecha. In Parshas Lech Lecha, he moves. He separates himself because of a command from God. Because of a command for God. In other words, his moving is because not just of recognition of the truth, but it's because of his relationship with God. In Lech Lecha, you see a relationship. God appears to Avram. There is a relationship. That's the difference. There is, you could recognize the truth and not have a relationship. This was the difference when one just changes their ways, but doesn't change themselves, and one can do that, they might recognize the truth. But it's not establishing a relationship with God. Avram had to establish a relationship with God, not just to recognize the truthfulness of God. In Parshas Lech Lecha, God appears to Avram, and he tells him, you have to change yourself, you have to be a different person. And that's how Avram establishes the Jewish nation. And it's separation, but it's not separation with disregard. When he hears Lot, even after he separated himself from Lot, Achiv, his brother Lot, his relative, wasn't his brother's nephew, but he heard that he was in trouble. He went to help him. You can change your identity, but still try to help others out as well, to help those that you had connections with as well. Changing the identity doesn't mean disregarding others. So, on one hand, Avram is told, to separate himself completely, to make a new identity. But making a new identity does not mean ignoring everybody else. There are those who think that when you get a new identity, you have to be unsensitive to the needs of other people. But that wasn't Avram. And in the sense, and it's very interesting, it's regarding, we say, that Avram is referred to as a Ger Tzedek in the Haggadah at the end. Ger Tzedek in Tzachto, at the end, Vayhi B'chatzi Halayla. So, Belayla, you made him victorious when he went to fight for Lot. And how is he referred to at that point? He's referred to as a Ger Tzedek. Why did he? When he's going to save Lot, he's identified as a Ger Tzedek. Very strange. Ger Tzedek represents the idea of separate. Ger Tzedek, a righteous proselyte. So when the Haggadah refers to Avram when he goes to save Lot as a righteous Ger. It's very odd that it should be referred to him in that regard as a Ger Tzedek. The answer is when we establish a relationship with God, we're establishing the relationship with God. That's not to be unsensitive to the needs of others. On the contrary, it makes us more sensitive. Because in a sense, we have to see ourselves as God's partner in the world. And this is the idea of Lech Lecha Me'atzecha. On one hand, you have to separate yourself. On the other hand, when we separate ourselves, it doesn't make us less sensitive. In other words, we have to recognize it's not enough just to change our ways. We have to establish a relationship with God. And when we establish a relationship with God, we become a stronger partner of God's. And this God is a person who gives sustenance to the whole world. We, as his partners, have to join God in giving sustenance to the whole world.
Oh, good.
I did, but I can go for a minute.
Gentlemen, please throw everything away from the tables. Keep the tablecloths on. And
no we'll class.
Meet in, we'll meet in Tadavin Marav in about 1 minute.
And no class next Thursday.
No class next Thursday. Thank you.